We're going to continue in a journey in Proverbs. And if you take a look, you can see we've got several verses in Proverbs, of which I'm going to read all of them right up front. And I'm going to hold off on the Psalm passage till a little bit later. So first, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34, 35. Then chapter 14, then chapter 23. I don't know if you want to put your fingers in there or whatever you want to do. But we're going to begin with chapter 6, where it says this in verse 34. For jealousy, or envy, arouses a husband's fury. He will not show mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. Again, jealousy, envy arouses fury in that husband. Then chapter 14, verse 30. 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. And then finally, from chapter 23, verse 17, where it says this, do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your heart on the right path. This is the word of God. I've asked this question before. I've had this debate with many of you before, but I'm going to ask it again. If you had to pick the most important of the Ten Commandments, which would you pick? In your head, which would it be right now of the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments. And let's throw in what the New Testament talks about, that golden rule, that greatest of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and understanding, and love your neighbors yourself. What is the most important one? Again, after many years of reading and rereading, teaching many times, I came to the revelation and the understanding that I truly believe the most important commandment is thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. Many of you say, well, that's not true, Paul. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you are coveting, you aren't loving. And that's why I truly believe it's so important. And today when we look at this idea of being actively spiritual, about living our faith every day, about learning from the wisdom of God, you hear what Proverbs says about envy. Envy, coveting, wanting what somebody else has, and how destructive it is. You see, envy is probably the biggest enemy towards active spirituality. Envy is the biggest enemy towards active spirituality. You say, oh, I don't understand, or is that really true? Yeah, think about it. If we are people of envy, then it keeps us from loving God fully. It keeps us from loving our neighbor fully. It keeps us from loving ourselves fully. And so when we are people of envy, the reason it rots our bones is because we're unable to love ourselves because we want what somebody else has. And we're never content. It keeps us from loving. It keeps us from functioning in a community. If we envy other people, it keeps us from functioning in a community. What does that mean? That means if I'm envious of someone, usually I'm going, well, who do they think they are wearing that dress? Well, who does he think he is pulling out that set of golf clubs at a church league? Whatever it might be, we get envious and we can't live in community. It keeps us from affirming unique worth. It keeps us from affirming unique worth. It keeps us from being able to say, wow, they have such an amazing ability to do this. Wow, they have such a gift in this area. We're too worried the fact that, oh, I didn't get that gift. Oh, I'm not that cute. Oh, I'm not that tall. Whatever it might be, it keeps us from affirming the unique worth of others. And it keeps us from contentment. Envy rots our bones because it keeps us from being people who are content. I can still remember a quote that I wrote on a piece of paper many years ago. And it said this: contentment is not the realization of all that you want. It's the realization of all that you have. Contentment is not the realization of all that you want. It's the realization of all that you have. You see, envy ruins our contentment because we are never, ever satisfied. Envy is a desire to equal another in possession or achievement. Again, envy is the desire to equal another in possession or achievement. It's a desire to have what we lack, or what we think we lack, or what someone else has, versus being people who are thankful for what we have. Again, this whole envy thing, this whole idea of coveting what someone else has, the idea that I want to be equal, destroys us from the inside out. Augustine, a great church father, said that passions for equality rage within us like tyrants and throw into confusion our whole soul. Passions for equality rage within us like tyrants and throw into confusion our whole soul. Or another way to put it is that our souls are tortured. We live our lives in torture because, oh, if I only had that house. Oh, if I only had that car. Why can't I have that promotion like they have? Oh, if I was only as good looking as Pastor Paul. Are you listening? We torment ourselves. We destroy our soul because we want to be equal, because we want what someone else has, because we live our lives, and this is so huge in my mind, we live our lives mourning what we don't have. Instead of being people who are joyful, instead of being people who can celebrate the blessings that we do have, we live every moment of our lives going, oh, woe is me. It's not fair. Why don't I have that? Why didn't I get that? Why do they always get the break and I never get the break? We live our lives in torment, in torture, in mourning. We might as well just wear black all the time and whine about what we don't have. Envy destroys us. It's interesting that in the Hebrew, and again, I've said this before, I always did well in Hebrew because Hebrew is a very artistic language. Hebrew words can mean such a range of things that it's sometimes difficult to translate. And in Hebrew, the word that's used for envy can also mean intensely red. Intensely red. And again, think about it. Oh, I wish that I could. Why don't I have that? Why? Ooh, it's not fair that I don't get there. And our veins stick out of our neck and our face turns intensely red and we live our lives tortured with our bones rotting from within because I don't have what they have. It kills our active spirituality. It kills our ability to love God and to love others. And we've got to call it what it is and let go of it. So what's the choice? How about affirmation? How about affirmation? I'm going to warn you. I am going to warn you that for whatever reason, affirmation takes more energy than envy. Affirmation takes more energy than envy. And when I read that, when I saw that, when I researched it, it truly saddened me. Because what it said to me was that our human nature is to go, oh shoot, it's not fair, and lean towards envy more than it is to stand here and say, I'm going to affirm people. I'm going to use the extra energy and I'm going to look for the good. I'm going to use the extra energy and I'm going to try and calm my soul. I'm going to use the extra energy and take a deep breath. Let the red drain from my face. And say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We need to be people of affirmation instead of people of envy. We need to be able to affirm the gifts of other people. Affirm the blessings of other people. We need to be able to affirm the good in ourselves. Again, something that we probably aren't taught, and sadly, again, in Calvinist backgrounds, something that's seen as negative, is to believe that you are amazing. And yet we need to affirm instead of envy. We need to affirm diversity. We need to be grateful for what we have. Instead of mourning every day what we don't have. We live in a competitive culture. We live where we want to talk about winners. And we don't want to talk about losers. And when we live our lives again, when we always want to be on the winning side, not the loser side. And again, right there again, we start to feel that envy of those who win instead of those who lose. What if we weren't competitive? What if I didn't have to be like him? What if I didn't have to look like her? What if I didn't have to look at the magazines, the newspapers, the websites, and add up to what society says the norm is? What if I was just happy with who God has created? What if I could just affirm who I am and affirm who you are, and together we could affirm each other and the world we live in? Instead of spending every day building the pressure up, mourning what we don't have. I'm here to tell you that you will never be able to possess all that you think you should possess. You will never be able to possess all that you think you should possess. So get used to it. If tomorrow you get the dream house that you've always wanted and you move in, it will only take you a few short days to find something where you say, oh, I wish I would have done what they did instead of this. You get the new car and you think, whoa, this is awesome. And only in a few short weeks you find out, oh, maybe I should have waited because, boy, what they have is so cool. We will never possess all that we think we should possess. We often get what we want. And yet, when we get it, it doesn't fulfill us. It may for a moment, it may for an instant, but we're right back to envy and mourning. I mean, think about it. Christmas is only a few weeks away. I don't mean to scare y'all, but really it is. Pretty soon you're going to start hearing about the Christmas ads. Pretty soon you're going to hear about the Christmas deals. Pretty soon some of you insane people are doing the Black Friday thing, the Black Monday, the Cyber Tuesday, all that stuff. And when you get to Christmas and all the gifts are there under the tree, way too many, let's be honest. And when you watch your children, when they're 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years old. And after about the fourth or fifth gift that they open, and they think, oh, this is amazing. I just wanted this. This is great. Pretty soon, it's over there. And they're on to the next one. And they're on to the next one. And they're on to the next one. And then, after Christmas, you hear one of them say, oh, I wish I really would have gotten this. That's really who we are as human beings. We get gift after gift. We're blessed after we're blessed. We are living life large. And yet so often we end up with, oh, I wish I would have got this. If I would have only gotten this. If I could only have that. Envy comes back in instead of affirmation. Can you imagine if we could be grateful? Grateful for what we have, grateful for who we are. If we could be happy for the other person, happy for their gifts, happy for their abilities. If we could realize that we are all blessed in some way, not the same way, but in some way, and affirm that and recognize that and celebrate that and applaud that, instead of rotting bones, we would be alive. Instead of dying from the inside out, we would be healthy. Instead of mourning our whole lives, we could celebrate lives filled with affirmation about, again, that ability to affirm human beings rather than envy human beings. So the choice is there. You can live a life of envy, rotting from the inside out, destroying your bones, mourning as you walk through life, or you can live a life of affirmation that we are blessed, that each of us is unique, that God does things differently, and I can affirm who you are, you can affirm who I am, and we can live life large. I truly believe the most difficult part to all this is where we have been in the early weeks of our youth group here, and you've seen it up on the slides with a theme of amazing people make amazing choices. Amazing people make amazing choices. The reason we moved in that direction is because we want kids to know that they are amazing. Because I think in my heart, we need to understand how amazing we are in order to be people of affirmation. What am I getting at? Psalm 139. Verses 13 through 16, for you created my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me, my unformed body, all the days adorned for me. Written in your book before one of them came to be. God does not make junk. God makes us fearfully and wonderfully. God creates us for a purpose and a plan. And we need to understand that we are amazing. And when we understand that we are amazing, and when we can stand in the grace of God and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He's got a plan for my life. He's ordained my days. He loves me for who I am. He has a purpose. Then it doesn't matter whether or not I'm short or I'm tall. It doesn't matter whether or not I'm rich or I'm poor. It doesn't matter whether I'm athletic or not athletic. It doesn't matter, because God has affirmed me from the beginning of time and said, Paul, you are amazing. You are fearful. You are wonderful. You have a plan. I love you and I will never let you go. What do I have to envy? I have nothing to envy if I believe that. I have nothing to envy if I can feel that. I have nothing to envy if that fills my soul. Instead of that which tortures me. Instead of that which hurts me. If we understand how amazing we truly are, we can love God fully. We can love others fully. We can love ourselves. If we understand we're amazing, then we can function in a community, because I'm bringing my gifts. I'm bringing my abilities. If I believe I'm amazing, then I can affirm unique worth. Whether it be my unique worth or someone else's unique worth, it has a purpose. It has a plan. If I'm amazing, I don't even have to worry about being content, because I know I'm special. Because I know that God created me with a purpose and a plan. Because I know I'm a child of God and no one can take that away. I'm amazing. God's affirmed me. God continues to affirm me, and I can live a life of affirmation instead of a life of envy. So again, the choice is ours. Let's all go home. Let's put on all of our black clothes and walk around mourning what we don't have. mourning that we're not like that person, that we don't look like this person, we don't sound like this person. Let's walk around red-faced and tortured and rot from the inside out. Is that what we want? Or let's understand that we are amazing. And because we're amazing, we can make the amazing choice to live lives of affirmation. And when we live lives of affirmation, we can celebrate life. We can sing that song. We can smile. We can have a bounce in our step and know that God has created us with a beautiful, beautiful purpose. And no one can take that away. So the choice is ours. Envy, affirmation, amazing. Amen.